If you need a Bible, we've got them on the back row. You might want to look up some things. But, Chris, see those Bibles behind you?
Yeah.
Help me out there.
Final message today is, before Amen, the power of the simple prayer. So we're going to close out this series. This is the last installment. So I'm excited today. Our young people have taken off. Not that I'm excited that the young people have taken off. I'm excited we close in on this, but this will give you some sort of meat and potatoes. This will give you some very basic things to talk about prayer. The Lord's Prayer, it's often called the Lord's Prayer, but he really taught the disciples to pray. Isn't it amazing the disciples didn't say, give us more power, help us to heal, help us to do something, but no, they said, help us to pray. Handpicked men of God that still needed some help in prayer. So, I'm inclined to think that we can use this too. So our final message is just a reminder of this. Before Amen, the power of the simple prayer. We begin with this reminder to always say thanks to God. This man's name is Ken Little Boy. Ken Little Boy saved a little boy. The boy's name was... His name is sign on his card. Can you tell him right there?
No.
Peter, let me make it larger for you guys. Sign the card. His name is Peter King.
Peter King was a little boy at 3 years old. He was feeding ducks one day, and he slipped and fell into a pond. And Ken, little boy, looked over, and all he could see was a head bobbing. He had to jump three fences and go through a couple of yards to race over and grab him. Pulled him out, laid the little boy on his side. Water began to come out of his mouth. And sure enough, he helped him to expel the rest of the water. And that little three-year-old boy was saved because of the efforts of Ken, little boy. Was he thankful? Sure he was. But being a three-year-old, I don't know if he knew enough to write a thank you card. He did inquire as he got a little bit older, and he asked about Ken, little boy, and they said, well, he died. You'll never be able to thank him now. That was misinformation. Ken, little boy, was very much alive, still was. And so Peter King decided to write him a thank you note, and there it is, 37 years later, after he saved him. So in 2014, he got a thank you note from something that had happened almost 40 years ago. Better late than never, you might say, or at least I wanted to say thanks. And I thought, wow. So Ken, little boy, he says, thank you for the card, Peter. And Peter says, thank you for saving my life. Have you thanked Jesus lately, or has it been 37 years since you said, God, you saved me from hell? I didn't have a life, and you saved me. You saved me from, and you can just fill it in. I want to start naming them because some of us have had some things we've had to work on harder than others. You know, we might say, man, I have a bad habit of, and you just fill it in, and God says, let me save you from that. And so he saved us, and a mere few years later, we might want to say thank you. I can't get over the fact that he saved, and may you never get over being a child of the King. But you say, well, I need you to talk to him a little bit there. Okay, we will. We'll look at this. I want to show you something. What's this? What's the first prayer? God, you're what?
Good.
God, you're good. What?
I need help.
I need help.
They need help.
They need help.
They need help.
Thank you.
Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if I can just say, God, you're good. I need help. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. When you say that, that has power to the name. I had a class at Liberty one time, and a man said, his name was Dave Early, and he says, I was trying to get some things through here at the college, and it seemed like some people were trying to help me and others weren't, but he says, I finally put a name on the bottom of the letter and sent it through the office, and for some reason it got done. What was the name on the bottom of the letter? Jerry Falwell. He said, it seems like when you put the name Falwell on the bottom of the letter, it speeds up things for some reason. Yeah, considering one's the president of the college and one's the pastor of Thomas Road, that would probably speed up things. When I put the name Jesus, it just, all the angels, hush, they were saying something. And you just hang on the word, Jesus, all heaven just instantly gives you attention. You might not feel that one, but it does. I need help. I need help. Thank you. But make sure we start with this. God, you're good. All right, next. On this part of before Amen, I want to find out what your strength is today.
you say, well, which one of those phases of the prayer is actually your strength? You say, well, I like saying, God, you're good. By the way, you start off saying, God, you're good. It's almost like it just falls like a domino. God, you're so good to me. What's the next words out? Thank you. You see, you jump to the last. That wouldn't be such a bad habit. But you see, they just sort of blend in together. So I want to check out what your strengths are. You say, I'm not sure which part of those four parts of that prayer are my strengths. Well, if you would consider this with me, some of your prayer strengths might be one of those things. So let's look at them. God, you're good. Is that easy for you to say, oh, God, you're so good to me. Lord, you saved me. You've forgiven me. And then you'll start giving me things that God's good for. God, you're... Give me... What's God to you? Just say it off the top of your head, Chris. God, you're...
God's grace.
God, you're so good. Your grace is that. What else? Your... Give me something. Come on.
God forgives you.
Yeah. God, you're so good. Your grace is what? Your forgiveness. I'm forgiven of my sin. See, if you're not careful, you won't ever leave that part of the prayer. What else?
Loving.
God, you're loving. Look at this. Let me give you a little attribute. Start with A. God, you're A. What's A? God, you're awesome. God, you're B. I just call it a glimpse of Jesus. God, you're beautiful. C. Caring. D. Devoted to me, divine, and your nature. E.
Everywhere.
You're everywhere. Eternal, everlasting. F.
Faithful.
Forgiven. Faithful. What else? You took the fall from me. G.
Good.
You're good. You're great. You're grace. You're giving. You said, we can go on like this forever. Why not? H.
Heavenly.
Holy.
I mean, your fire could just breathe down and just cover me up. Why am I with it? You're holy. You're helpful. You hold me. You hear me. What else?
Hero.
You're my hero. You stepped in front of the bullet for me. The bullet was a cross. I could have died. You stepped in front.
I. Infinite.
You never ended. What else? You enlighten me. What else? I identify with you. What else?
It's yours.
Yeah, you're my insurance. Because you sure, I mean, the premium has been paid. H-I-J. You're Jesus. You're joyful. You're
just.
You're just. And yet you don't punish me because you took. By the way, I could go all the way through that. Max didn't steal from me. We did that in the Bible study, but I sort of reminded him. He does that in his book. He goes from A all the way through. He did a little bit of that. He said, God, you're awesome. B, I thank you that I'm bald. I haven't got to that level yet. Max has got that B. He said, God, I thank you that I'm bald. Max didn't have hair this thick. He said, it's all gone. And he just says, God, I thank you that I'm... And he tries to say, could you thank him for things that you didn't want? It's easy to think, oh, God, you're good. You're good that you gave me. I wonder if Todd could say, God, you give me cancer, but you'll use it. Okay. I was reminded of cancer this past week. I went up and had a dermatologist, and she said, you got a little spot right there. You got about, matter of fact, let me just freeze all those off. It's freezing. If they take the nitrogen, spray it right in your face. I thought, I got that eyeball. Let's get it. And you just burnt that off. She says, let me do that. I say burn. They actually freeze them off. She said, they'll get sort of hardened. It's like a scab and it'll just fall off. But she said, let me make sure we get everything. So would you come back in 2 weeks? We're going to put this cream on your head. You sit with it for an hour. Remind me of women in a beauty parlor years ago. She said, bring something to read. She said, okay. Sit for an hour with cream on your head. She said, then we put you under a blue light and it just sizzles those things. Probably turn your head red. She said, you might not. In other words, you won't look good for about 3 or 4 days. I'm like, thank you. And then after 3 or 4 days, you burn my hair off. I mean, it's like, but they said, we're going to do that just to make sure that you don't have any of that. And I thought, you can't burn any more hair off my head. I don't have any now. But she said, we're going to do that. Then you come back about a month, we'll probably do it again. And they said, we don't think there's anything on you, but we just want to make sure that those are not, those precancerous cells don't turn into what?
cancer, and she says there's no way of knowing. So if we get them now and they weren't, no big deal. If you don't do them now and they are, we'll have to cut them out real deep. And that's sort of like heaven and hell. You know, you say, okay, I'm going to give, as Jenny and I, we talked about that in Bible study, you know, if I give myself to Jesus and it turns out there is no heaven and hell, did you waste any of that? Not really. Well, I could have partied and had fun. Yeah. Nothing like, yeah, that's not fun. I'm just saying. So if I give myself to Jesus and it turns out there is no eternity, you didn't really lose anything. But what if I don't give myself to Jesus and there is? You've lost it all. So I'm saying, okay, go ahead. You do what you want to. Boy, they, she said, you're typical. You got fair skin, blue eyes. You're the perfect person to have spots on. And I think, great. Well, I used to have hair like Michael Landon clear down on my shoulders. I always think God paid me back. I don't know. Now that it's gone, she said, well, I'd wear a hat. Matter of fact, when we give you that blue light treatment, you can't even go outdoors. It'll just fry your head. I wasn't bored of that. You know, so that's going to be in a couple of weeks. And she said, you go out and get gas, just run, do air. And she said, it'll just burn you up because we're going to put stuff actually draws a light. But we want to control it here. I said, okay. So I said, God, you're good. I said, God, you're good. When you say, God, you're good, it's sort of like worshiping. Here's what you need. When you say, I need help, though, that's sort of like having what from your heart. You're trusting God. You got to get me through it. And that's what we do for Todd. We trust God. I mean, what's the alternative? Give up? I can't do that. So, God, I trust you. You might not be turning out what you like. Well, we still got to try. We still got to hang on. They need help. That's showing compassion for others. You lose compassion when we're no longer like Christ. That's the best example of compassion. So put compassion up there. And then the thank you, that's just simply doing this. We're humbling ourselves and we're being grateful for what you give. It's okay. Which one of those fits you? Alright, I'll show you. When you call somebody on the phone, I don't know, if we have a picture of the phone up there, and she's doing it. God, you're good. You ever call somebody on the phone and say, you know what, I really appreciate you as a friend. Anybody ever done that? And you just stay in that little area. Okay. How about this one? You ever call somebody and said, I need your help or something? I need your help. And maybe that's what we said. Of course, if that was every phone call you ever made, you'd probably drive friends away. I'm like, Ben, what do you want now, Edgar? I hope it's not that. How about this? If I call you on the phone and say, listen, I know you could use some encouragement. Let me do something for you. They need help. Maybe that's your strong point. You ever just call somebody and say, I just want to thank you for being a good friend. That's fine. So thank you. Maybe that's your strength. So the next time you think of this, pick up, I've got to give you an object in your house that will remind you of these things. You picture your telephone, and the next time you pick up that telephone, when you call somebody, what if you would do this? If I said, Beth picks up the phone, I said, Beth, I just want to tell you something. Thank you for seeing the church sign that day. Thank you for stopping, didn't even know who you were. And she says, I saw the church sign, and I stopped by. Because of that, just want to say thanks.
Click.
Is that how you are? How about this one? My mom used to call me. Just want to call and check on you. You all right?
I'm good.
I'm in the middle of something. I know you probably had this done. I said, well, I'm doing something. She said, then you must need a rest. She'd start to talk to me. I said, okay. By the time I got through, I never felt nothing that felt encouraged. Mama just called to say thank you. She would just call to encourage. So, is that the way you pray? God, I just want to say, God, you're so good. Thank you for saving me. Thanks for my family. Thanks even for the trials. Thanks for reading dots on my head. Thank you that I have a car. Thank you that we're in a building. This was not here a few months ago. Thank you for Jenny put lights on the wall. A floor that's done by about 4 or 5 different people. Marjorie helping me and Roy to help put this floor in. Chris, did y'all paint these walls? See? And I just walk through the building, and if I'm not careful, I don't ever get to God. I need some. I'm too busy just thinking. I remember it's a step of faith to buy that projector. It's about $325. Well, we don't have it. I used to schools for a couple times to help plan and said, we got to do it. Step that in faith. Next thing, Andy gives us people here. Brian,
I want to see these blue cherries. Mom let me know on a Friday night. These were for $15 a piece. They probably sell for $100. He says, you want to maybe check on it. I called the guy that next morning. He says, nobody's called. I didn't know anybody's seen the ad yet. Brian saw it, told me, so we go and get it. You see that? So you just look around. What part of the prayer do you have? What part of the prayer do you like to say? God, I need help. Some of you probably find that natural. Oh, Lord, you have got to do something. Maybe you stay there. You got to do it that. Because at least, I'm not picking on you saying, oh, isn't that bad to ask for help? No. What was the little word I put next to help? When you say, I need help, what are you really doing?
Trusting.
You trusting me. God, hey, I love it. Peter, falling in the water, says, Lord, save me. Okay. Peter sank in the wave. You would have gone for help. Peter could have just went back to the boat. By the way, when Peter was helped up out of the water, they turned, they're both walking. Well, I can't picture Jesus swimming. They turned, both walking back to the boat. All of the disciples going, Peter's walking the water. Thanks for saving me. Next, let's consider this point. Let's look at these four items and see which ones. If you worship when you pray, do you worship when you pray, or here's what you really love to do? If you call God on the phone, you just enjoy talking to Him. And again, I picture some people call, I think of my mom, she just called to be what? She just wanted to talk. She just enjoyed talking to me. In other words, some people might say, you mean you don't really have a what? You don't have a reason to call. When you call, just make sure you're okay. You all right? You just enjoy God. I just want to talk to you. You give it to me. Don't ever care. I'm not going to ask for anything. I just want to talk to you. Maybe enjoy that. Maybe exhibit trust. God, you have got to help me. And I mean, you're the one to help me. Can you look around and see people that need the help? And you take care of them? Sure. So do we show compassion when we pray? And thank Lord, you just got to. This person's going through this today. This person, I picture them at 1 o'clock. They tell me they're going to the doctor. And it's 1 o'clock. So we're just going to stop right now and lift them up. All right, you like to say thanks a lot. You just express gratitude like we were going through the alphabet a minute ago. Okay. I'm going to narrow it down and show you what you are when you pray. When you worship, you really like to compliment or brag on God. When you do this kind of praying, you're trusting, you're relying, you're counting on God. If you don't come through, it's not going to be done. Next one. If you show compassion, you're really thinking of others, you're not selfish. I'll give you an example. If you think of others, if I said stand and shake hands, visitors, I'm forgetting your name. Tell me your name again. Mr. Kadish. First person to go and shake Mr. Kadish's hand today was Rachel. Jesus said we would become like little what?
Children.
Hey, how you doing? That was Rachel this morning.
She bragged because she shook everybody's hand in the whole church. She's glad that she could do that. She's excited.
So that's a child. We need some lessons. Show compassion. Just think of somebody else. Or I could get up and go. Here's my best friend. Okay, go greet everybody around. Talk to them all week. Let me hang around in front of the next 10 minutes. Why don't you go shake hands with somebody that doesn't get a handshake? Because I'm selfish. That's like talking. Some people don't even like to. Go shake hands with everybody. I don't do that. I have to extend a hand to somebody. Why not? Show compassion. I want to do this. I'm thanking God for you today, so I'll show my gratitude. I humbly say thanks to all of you. Without you, remember what a leader is? If a leader doesn't have anybody behind him, he's just taking a walk. I'm not just taking a walk. I actually have some of you who enjoy coming to life. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. You know, ready for your description? Here we go. If you are a person who loves to worship and compliment and brag on God, see if this fits you. Here's your characteristics. Your natural bent is to praise God in every situation. Is that you? Your natural man is just say, Lord. God, help me. Got a flat top. Burn the bread. Lord, I'm just going to praise you no matter what. And if something goes wrong, you still pray. Maybe you're a natural minister, praise God in all situations. Maybe this is it too. This is it. You don't ignore stark reality. You don't focus on it. We can't say Todd doesn't have cancer. He does. But I can't go, oh, woe is me. Well, we're just going to lash someone. I know that. Don't do that. But something's wrong. I know it is, but we've got to say, God, you're still in control. You're still on the throne. You've got to show yourself mighty. We're depending on you. We've got to do this. I mean, it's just it's called a half full, half glass empty, you know. Again. So if I said, what are you thankful? I'm thankful I'm alive. I'm thankful that I'm here. I'm thankful I can come to church. I'm thankful that, because all you got to do is just put yourself in someone else's situation for a few moments. And, I'm not saying we don't focus on what we need to get done, but we just don't dwell. I have not went around this one going, I got red dots on my head. Mm-hmm. God's not surprised anything that comes your way. He didn't say, ignore. Now, it's just like my mom and my dad, they brought us up, and your teachers, your coaches, whatever. If you've got something wrong with you, you need to what?
Take care.
Yeah. I've seen, went up to Craig County one time, as if they're the Fisher family, they're out there steering apple butter. The grandpa come out there with a saw, cut the thumb right there, went over and got the duct tape, and wrapped it on there. All right, let's keep steering that apple butter. I almost feel like we've got to take care of that for you right here. You can't ignore something that's so obvious, but on the same hand, what would the opposite be? And maybe kids tend to do this.
Just dwell on it.
What?
Dwell on it.
Oh, do you see it? See that cup? See it, Mom? Mom, see it? I see it. Put a Band-Aid on. 5 minutes later. You think I can go to school tomorrow? Man. Yeah, I believe you're going to make it. You see it right there? Wait a minute, just 911, we need to get here. Child's had a boo. Okay. See? There's the ambulance. Now you can't do that. So kids tend to overreact. Older you get, we tend to just the flesh wound, don't be all right, shake it off. Bone stick out of your skin. You can't do that. Two boys kicking soccer one time. Do you remember Shannon Ruth and Alan Wood? They kicked each other. They broke their legs, they kicked so hard. Indoor soccer. I hate soccer. I'm a football guy. Anyway, soccer has to be played somewhere, so it's here too. Anyway, they turned out, kicked each other. Both of them went down. One of them got up. The other one couldn't. Compound fracture. The bone's about to slip kind of dead. That was Alan. I said, Alan, you broke your leg. You got to stay put. No, I just bent it. Country boy. Showed it to the doctor. Bent my leg. It looked like he got a bent there. No, it's broke. He actually tried to stand up by Alan, go back down. Of course, that wasn't the scariest thing I've ever seen in soccer. We played Christian Heritage down there. I think I went to one soccer game in 10 years. But anyway, I showed it. And these two guys came up, Christian Heritage playing. These two guys hit. The guy's leg went off and flew up through the air. I'm thinking, his artificial leg from right there down to his shorts. I didn't know that. I threw that leg back in for him. All right, sorry, it happens all the time. Put his leg back in. Yeah, I'm good. Man, I thought you kicked his leg off. Broke legs, kicked legs. I wanted to have a football team down there, and they wouldn't want me. They said, too many people get hurt. And I'm thinking, too many people get hurt. We had a broke leg, a broke arm, and a goalie down there. Somebody just got up about from me to him and just drilled as hard as they could. Hit him right there and went over the top. Went to the emergency room. I couldn't hardly. He said, you got a bruised heart. Took the boy out. He's a senior. Had to rest for a while. Got a broke leg, broke arm, bruised heart. We couldn't play football because somebody's going to get hurt. But man, we'd be in prison. At least I got equipment on. Y'all need to cover these guys up in soccer. We don't even wear stuff when it goes wrong. Is that you? Mom's in my head. I'm thankful for my mom. Y'all got that good memory. You know when to make some big deal. You know. Next. Life has its ups and downs, but you focus on God's good. Anybody ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Remember the hiding place? They had a little room off the side. The Germans were trying to come into the house and find the Jews that were being hid in that house. Click and boom, basically hit them in the wall. Every time the Germans would come in, the Gestapo and stuff, they would try to, we know you got people in here, and that she would just pray that nobody would make a sound. A little baby prayed that they wouldn't cry. Nobody makes a sound. Gestapo would come in and come back out. It was tough. Finally, they arrested her and put her in a prison camp because they just knew she was doing something wrong. And the Germans would come in and either beat them up, slap them down, be cruel. She said every time they'd get a group, take them outside, she'd tell them, I'm going to be next. God, I'm just going to focus on your goodness. She noticed the Germans wouldn't come back for a while. And that was because fleas or cockroaches were starting to get into the beds. And so one night when they were praying, her sister said, God, we thank you for the fleas and the cockroaches. And of course, you're thanking him for bugs. As long as these bugs are here, the Germans are, they don't like bugs. They'll leave us be. You're going to get beat every day and you want a cockroach. Well, we thank you for the cockroaches. Yeah. That's what I thought. So suddenly she's thankful for God's goodness. Because smoke would go off from the incinerators there and people would be killed and burned. Corey was glad she was alive. Put things in perspective. Up and down, you get it. Last, check out the following. You'll likely enjoy singing praise songs that describe God's character. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. That just comes naturally. If you come up, you're sort of like, I just pitch by the stereotype. You're a morning person. Hey, got some coffee? Yes, sir. Hey, how y'all doing over there? If you're a non-morning person, that person's about to drive you crazy. They come in, hey, that's a little cat. You know, that's you. They're just happy. Happy to be alive. Happy to be here. You said, that's me. Maybe this is you. Next. Daniel chapter 2, verse 9. You said, that's me. Daniel got up in chapter 2. Daniel's in prison, had his name changed, had his life about threatened, everything else, and then guess what he does? Look up Daniel chapter 2, and I'll show you. Daniel chapter 2. Somebody read a verse. Daniel chapter 2. Everybody need a Bible, but Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. We're going to go to an Old Testament prophet. Old Testament prophet. Daniel chapter 2. And we read it aloud. Page you got? Would you read it aloud? Daniel chapter 2, 19 and 20.
During the night, in the service of yesterday, in the evening, an angel prayed to the God of heaven and said, praise be the name of God forever and ever, Lord and forever.
Daniel's in prison. His life's been threatened. Unless he comes through and knows how to interpret a vision, by the next morning they're coming to arrest him and his friends and kill him. Daniel says, I need to have this vision. God gives it to him. And Daniel's like, sigh of relief. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Now, if we came up beside him, we'd go, what are you thanking God for? You could die in the morning. You're in prison. Your name's been changed. They call you Belshazzar. Your culture's been changed. You're having to be here. They kidnapped you to even get you to Babylon from where you used to live. And you're praising God. What a witness. I think Daniel's character is one of the worshipful most. Next time you go to your job, you say, I hate my job. Well, come on. Okay, Lord. I'm having a tough time in this place, but could you get me through today? And may I be the most positive person in that prison? You know, probably your job in prison. Anybody think of the man that went into prison when he was 17? Joseph. Stayed there for 17 years. He rose to second in command. In the prison, he was a trustee. Never complained. He's going to get through this. He could have got mad. He's going to wait till they're going to pay for this. He never was like that. God blessed him, and he got out of prison. Rose to second in command to Pharaoh alone. Let's make the best of a tough situation. I want to be like a Daniel. Again, there's verses that Paige read. He's just like, praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for giving me the vision. Thank you that I can save my people and more. He's on fire. Get up the next morning. I'm excited. In prison. Maybe your natural family is another thing. Is this you? Hope so. A little bit of all of us. We can have more than one area, by the way. Here's the next area. Trust and rely and counting on God. Maybe you're this person. Characteristics include your natural bent is to ask God for help. Again, don't think that's bad. You're showing trust. You know where your help lies. Your natural bent is to ask God for help. Here's a couple more things. you're often transparent with your weakness to God and to others. Say, you know, I'm really struggling with this. Would you guys pray for me? I think that's great. Next. You know it's better to lean on God and not on your own strength. Proverbs 3:5. Next. You have a unique mix of humility and confidence in God's power. You know you're humble enough to say, God, I cannot do this myself, but thank you, God, you can. If anybody can heal, if anybody can help, if anybody can change me, if anybody can get me through this, you can. My faith in you. God said, yeah, that's what God loves. If anybody can do it, you can. Nehemiah chapter 1. You say, where's Nehemiah? It's really not too far from the where you are. Nehemiah, if you want to turn to that. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. So just turn back a little bit. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. I'll help you find it. If you've got a blue Bible, you're on about page 343. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 11, Nehemiah is needing some help. He's got a great job, but now the job of being rebuilding the wall has come up, and he needs some help. And here's Nehemiah chapter 1. I really start with about verse 5. Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love and with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you, day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. It was our fault, basically, that the wall had been torn down. It wasn't you, God. It was us. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. So would you remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the nations. We've done that. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I've chosen as a dwelling for my name. God, we're that exiled people. I'm asking you to help us. They are your servants and your people. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servant who delights in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. What man was it? He went to the king and he said, King, can I have some time off? And the king said, you got it. Would you also write me some letters and send to the people locally? Because I got to go through and get some logs from the Lebanon tree. Absolutely. So he sent him through. He's just got passports. He's got names. Remember what we said? If you sign the name Falwell up there, probably accomplished. He's got his king's name. So he shows up. He says, by the way, would you give us some protection? It'd be like running, Jim, what's a ship? Like a frigate ship beside a big battleship, run alongside of it, something protected. What's that ship, Eddie, that's beside a battleship? Well, you got the destroyer, and then you've got something. Is it a frigate ship beside it? So so you're running interference. You got to be like you've seen in the movies. Cover me. Okay, can I have cover? Sure, we'll give you protection, provisions. We'll give everything. And like God, if you don't do this, it ain't going to happen. Guess what? This impossible job of rebuilding the wall, God gave them power. God gave them the provisions. He gave them protection. They rebuilt the wall. They said, oh, this thing will take a couple of years. They built it back in 52 days. Think God was with them? 52 days? The people were so defeated, they didn't even know where to go. Nehemiah came and left the big palace, the cushy job that he had, went back and helped them rebuild the wall. And 52 days later, they said, except for 50 days. And God was with them. They trusted him to bring them through with provisions. Pretty good? Maybe you're that kind of person. Transparent, say, God, you just got to help me. Third category, maybe you've liked to do this. Last couple here. Maybe you show compassion and think of others. I like this. Your natural bent is to put others first. You go shake their hands first. You say, no, you go first. Right, let me get you something to eat. That just comes natural to you. You don't have to force yourself to do that. Well, your natural bent is to put others first. You're a problem solver. Loyal to your friends, enjoy doing things for others, even sometimes strangers in need. Doesn't matter. You're going to take care of them. You remember to pray for others and ask how they're doing when you see them. Hey, how you? Let me ask you. Remember a couple weeks ago you told me that at prayer point? Is that doing better? How do you even remember that? There's a lot of you. We'll take care of you. Thank you. Maybe this is you too. Your compassion may eventually outrun your time, money, and energy. It's like, maybe I better take a day off. I'm just trying to go, go, go. Some people are like that. We finally just have to time down. My grandma read, you know, grandma, it's okay. You got to set still. No, I got to get up and do something. It's okay. Y'all's grandparents probably come to mind too. Good Samaritan, would you look at Luke chapter 10? Luke chapter 10. Luke had a story of a man named, he's the Good Samaritan. You've probably heard this story before. Matthew, Mark, Luke, it's in the third gospel. It's in chapter 10. And here is the story of somebody who definitely had a heart for others. Look at verse 30. On one occasion, there's experts in the law come and try to aggravate Jesus and say, well, who's my neighbor and who's this? And they're just trying to catch him and almost pick at him. And Jesus finally tells a story, and he sort of convicts them. Because he said, okay, if we're only supposed to take care of people that we care or love or are kin to us and all that, how about this? Jesus said, verse 30, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went on his way, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. A priest now. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. He didn't want to get dirty. He didn't want to go out of his way. So to a Levite, he came to the place and saw him. He passed by on the other side. Levites, that's in the Levi's, the priestly family. So we got a priest and we got a Levite. Both of them ignored the man who needs help. But a Samaritan. Samaritans are what they make fun of. A Greek Jew get married, they'd have Samaritans, and they would be like offspring that were sometimes derogatorily referred to as half-breeds. Oh, that is Samaritan. And yet look who's helping him. Maybe a Samaritan knew to help him because he'd been there before. He knew what it was like to be aggravated and looked down on. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Pity really means compassion, is that word right there. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine. Then he, guess what? Set the man on his own donkey so he would walk. Took him to an inn, took care of him. The next day, he took two silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, and he says, look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any other extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Did the Levite help him? Did the priest help him? Or did the Samaritan? I have a feeling that wasn't the first time he helped him. That was probably more important. Showing compassion to others. And the last one then. You say, I think that's me, my natural man. I love helping others. I just get blessed by that. You know, I need to give the gift to so-and-so. Express gratitude, finally, by saying humbly, thanks. Let's get your natural man. Your natural man is to thank God in all circumstances. Lord, we just want to thank you for helping us get through this. I sat at Melanie's house when it was on Caldell Street. I was sitting there home at the couch, and this car pulled up the little purple flag on it. All right, God, this is you. We're going to do this. You know how people before a game are sitting there walking, yeah. They walk out. I'm sitting on the couch, and I stand up and like, all right. We got this. Walk out, God. You gotta, I'm going to thank you that we even have a chance to talk about you. I was going to that, getting in my car, because the black car with the purple flag up from the funeral home. We're going to have a mom's funeral. We're all right. You're married, your mom. It's all right. She's in a better place. So you just tend to always look at the other side. Father, forgive him, for they know what to do with what Jesus said. He never said, cause fire and brimstone to burn up these. They're really getting my nerves right here. He didn't say that. Father, forgive. John, take care of my mom. I'll say you, today you'll be a thief on the cross. Remember me. You got it. Today you'll be with me in paradise. He never once concerned himself. God, we thank you for everything, and you help me just take care of others. You're a natural man to thank God. Okay. Maybe this is one of your characters. Not only do you want to thank God, you do this. You tend to be content with what God has. Right. You
instead of constantly looking for green grass in somebody else's yard.
Oh, if I only had this,
I'd be better off. You never said that. I'm sure nobody in the room said it.
If I only had.
How many of you had a coat to put on without a coat? How many of you had to hunt a coat this morning? Anybody? None of you? Yeah. Anybody have to hunt a coat here? Anybody ready to? You're right. I guess I should do something. I sure wish I had a pair. There's nothing wrong with having good things. Again, that's fine. I feel when God fed people, he got them some good food. But he said on Sunday, he says, he fed the 5,000, and it was great food. On another time, he was walking through on the Sabbath, and his disciples had to pick grain out of the grain field and eat that because they didn't have anything else to eat. Sabbath, they ate out of the grain field on the Sabbath. First, he's got mad at that.
You're breaking the rules.
I'm just taking care of it. Last couple characteristics for you. How about this? Consider you express appreciation to others for their thoughtfulness and kindness to you, and I certainly appreciate you all. You're a great church. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Last couple. You don't take your blessings for granted. And you notice how God works in small ways. You don't have to look up all these verses, but I'll just pick. Apostle Paul wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. If you would read some of these verses, like Ephesians 1:16. Now, let me look up Ephesians 1:16. Philippians 1:3. Brian, you got Philippians 1:3. Colossians 1:3. For us, if you get Colossians 1:3, 4, 1 Thessalonians 1:2. Chris, you want 1 Thessalonians? You're going to see a pattern, and I know I'm surprised if I ask you this, but the Apostle Paul traveled to some places like Ephesus, Philippi, he traveled to Colossae, Thessalonica, he traveled to places and they would plant churches. And then he would later write them and let them know how he was doing, and he also wanted to know how they were doing. And he would often use a phrase, and I don't think he said this flippantly. He said it because it was true. He really meant it. So let's see what he said. Anybody got a verse that you got I gave you? No?
I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers.
Every time we praise God, I thank you for those people in what? Ephesus. Here's Paul writing in the book of Philemon. I'll get this one. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Sounds the same. Colossians.
We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray for you. Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints.
We get the pattern here?
Yeah.
I love that. We thank you in Christ Jesus. So I thank you, people of Ephesus. I thank you. Thank you, people of Colossae. How about Philippians 1:3?
Thank my God every time I remember you.
I don't know why that touches me right there.
If I pop to your mind, you say, oh God, and Edgar's made such a thank you, but I just want to stop. Do you have somebody that you could in your life that you want to? Every time I ever think of it, Jesus saved me, but my mom really made me want to do anything. I overlooked. So every time I think, Mom, thank you, Jesus, for my mom. Thanks for my dad. Thanks for my brothers. Thanks for my sister. Automatically, that family rotation just starts to go. You do that? Oh, thank you for that person in high school that made a difference. Thank you for that teacher that took time for me. Every time I remember you guys, I thank God for you. That's the way Paul was. Paul had a lot of time to reflect. He sat in prison a lot of times. He said, I remember that song. So they, how would you bless me? That just popped in my mind. And they were really a blessing. 1 Thessalonians 1:2 says what?
We always thank God for all of you, remembering you constantly in our prayers.
Every time you ask to a church, you say, I want to thank you, God, for my friends. I want to thank you for them making the difference in my life. Okay. Next. Thing to consider. Remember that these strengths can often overlap and improve other areas. For example, if you can see how easy it would be once you start to worship, name things for God. It's compliment and brag on God. If you start worshiping, that's what complimenting and bragging God you'll automatically just start thanking. And if you think, God, you're so good, would you help so-and-so? Now you're showing that. And this prayer just goes around and around. It goes, and you can start off. So, God, you're good. I need help. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So you say, God, you're so good. Lord, I thank you for what you've done to me. And I still need your help. And Lord, I wish you would just pray for my family. And see, you can just go. You might be zigging a little bit, but you're covering a pattern there. When you get through praying, you'll feel like, okay. Can you picture this right here? I want that to be us. We just did it a minute ago when we were going through the alphabet. But, now you do it if you want to do it. Can you see how what we were doing a minute ago? That's praying, right? Because I said, God, you're awesome. God, you're beautiful. Go through the alphabet. Give me one I just picked. T. God, you're what? Trust. Terrific. Thankful. So if you just say, I know God's awesome in my life. All right, just change it. Just look at how we directed him. God, you're awesome. Thank you for your son, Jesus. See, so what we were doing a minute ago, you're actually praying. I guess prayer's not so bad. Now, I wonder how it is. Can I have to say God or have to say Jesus? You say whatever you want. Say Heavenly Father. You can say Jesus. You can say Lord. So if I said, dear Jesus, thank you for the people in front of me. You're awesome to give me this church. The next thing you know, you pray. It's just like having a conversation with God. See how easy that is. So let's pray again. Dear Jesus. We might bow our heads, we might close our eyes, we might direct our thoughts together. But Lord, it's talking to you just like talking to a friend, because you are. God, you are awesome. Jesus, you're a beautiful Savior. You were crushed for us, died for us, so that we could have eternal life, live forever. You're gracious, so we can have a home in heaven. You invite us to come and meet you, Jesus, at your level. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You're my Master. Nothing should separate me from the love of God. Over and over, you tell us in your word that we have peace in you. Lord, in spite of the quirks that we have in our life, we can have a Redeemer who saves us simply because we trust in you. Jesus, we're under the shadow of your wing. We're under your protection. We're under your love. Thanks for the victory we have through you. Lord, you've won my heart. I pray that you continue to win others. I pray that you speak to people's hearts right now. Thank you that because of the cross, we can yield to you and be set free. Lord, under the sound of my voice right now, there's somebody that says, let me just say, God, you're good. And in Jesus, you might say, I need help with this area in my life. And they yield that to you. And they're compassionate because they look at others and consider others that need your help. So they say, Jesus, help them. Lord, I pray we end our Thanksgiving service by doing just that. Thank you. So we thank you that we're here. And if you took me home tomorrow, you don't have to do another thing for me. You give me a good life. You give me a good family. You give me a good church. Jesus, I pray that you give me a lot longer to serve you. Today, as we serve each other, as we kind of do to one another, may that be because you've been kind to us in so many ways and you've changed us. I pray that everybody in here has changed. They've got a new heart, not a heart of stone like Isaiah writes about, but a heart that's living and fresh. So, Jesus, change us, forgive us, make us like you.